If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to take a little bit bigger bite this morning than one verse. Matthew chapter 7, begin reading with verse 7 this morning. Let us hear together the word of the Lord. Ask. And it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord today. And we are thankful for it. Over my life, I have asked many, many times. And I have received more than I even know. I have sought and I have found. I have knocked on some doors and the Lord absolutely opened them for me. I look out at you and know a lot of your stories. I was thinking about that as people were praying at the altar today. I don't know for sure what had brought each and every person there, but I kind of have a hunch, knowing what it is that they're praying about in their life, praying for God to intervene. And I look out and I see so many of you, and knowing your stories, I know ways that God has broken through in your lives. It's just amazing. I have a relationship with an atheist friend, and he's constantly challenging me, how can you believe in God? Man, if you'd seen what I've seen, if you've experienced what I've experienced, how could you not? I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry you haven't had that in your life, because God has been so good to me. I know that's your story too. You have asked and you have received, you have sought and you have found, and you have knocked, and God opened up not only that door, but 10 more. And the blessings just were pouring down so much. What is it you say, Dan? I'm too blessed to be stressed. Well, maybe not quite there. But you know what I'm talking about. I've never prayed that God would move a mountain and I stood there and, you know, kind of did the wooji juji. That's a Greek term. Wooji juji move. And a mountain moved. I don't know. Anybody want to testify? But I tell you what, I have prayed over the last 20 or 30 years for some stuff that absolutely to me looked impossible. There ain't no way, no how, but God, you told us to pray, so I'm going to do it. I don't even know that I had very much faith believing. I've seen God do some incredible things. Well, I remember one time when I was a young pastor that got a phone call, went to the emergency room, and Hazel Roosh came out and she told me what was going on with her husband, Harold. And I said, well, Hazel, I don't know anything about that, so we'll just pray. And we prayed, And the doctor came out and he told us what was going on. And to be honest with you, I don't even remember all the big words he used. And he said, Harold is not going to make it. Hazel was an incredible woman of faith, and she said, we'll see. And not only did he make it, he fully recovered and lived many more years. When I put it out on the prayer chain what had happened, we had a medical professional in our church. He was an anesthesiologist. He called me up and he goes, Dave, you need to retract that because that's impossible. That if that happened to him, what you put on there, he would be dead instantly. I don't know. I said, I definitely could have got it wrong. You work at the hospital, you go ask the doctor. And he did. And he called me back. And he said, I stand to be corrected. I said, yeah, God don't know the word impossible. That's good stuff, isn't it? It'll just touch you down where your heart is touched. It'll just kind of send a quiver in your liver. A little chill up your spine. Woo! That's an old-fashioned thing to say when you don't have anything else to say. But you know the problem and you know where I'm going next. I've also asked, as deeply and sincerely as I know how to ask, and I did not receive. I have sought and I did not find. Sometimes I wonder if I'm not still out there lost in the wilderness somewhere seeking. I have knocked until my knuckles were bloody. And it did not open for me. Now, I said I'm positive you've experienced the first. I'm pretty positive you've experienced the second, too. That's what's tough, because this sounds like a guarantee. And I want to believe with all of my heart that it's a guarantee. But the experience of my life has taught me it doesn't work that way. I don't know when it first happened for you, but I remember the time that my little theological world had an explosion within it. It was a little late in life for me. I think as I was reflecting about that this week, why it was so late in life for me, I think it was because for the first about 20-something years of my life, I don't know that I prayed about things all that much, you know, asking for things. Because I knew no matter what I wanted, that it was going to have to go through the permissive will of Buddy Shelton. You understand what I'm saying? And it didn't matter if I wanted it, and I wasn't really sure it mattered a whole lot if my Heavenly Father wanted that for me. The real question was Buddy going to be on board with this? I was about a senior in college. And our associate pastor at the church, he was a retired minister, and he was a great guy. You've been around people like that before. They're just happy all the time. They've got tons of energy. You call them at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's like, well, what's up, Doc? They're just wonderful folks. I mean, you know, sometimes as teenagers, we'd kind of laugh at him when he would preach because he was one of those old preachers. You guys probably don't even remember these folks out here in the Southwest, but in the Southeast, we had them. They'd preach against makeup. They could have a whole sermon against makeup. That'd make the Mary Kay people feel happy, wouldn't it? Here you are selling Mary Kay, and you're going to hell if you use this stuff. I don't know where they got it. But he used to preach against that mascara. Now, you can't do that to a row full of teenagers. You know, we're over there. And one Sunday he said, and I even see that the men on the football teams are putting that mascara under their eyes. Well, that ain't mascara. That didn't discount the fact that he was a very good man. He is a godly man. He'd get out there in his 80s and play volleyball with the teens. I ain't willing to do that in my 50s. Church, have a picnic. He was always out there playing softball. Every year he organized a trip, deep sea fishing. And don't you think you're going to sleep on that bus on the way down or back, because it had a microphone. And Brother John Taylor was on it the entire time. He was a great man. He was a godly man. He had some interesting theology. But isn't it interesting how when someone's just a good, good guy, and you know it comes from a heart of love and it's not, you know, you just look past it. My senior year of college, he had a stroke. And I don't suppose that there was anybody in that church that he hadn't been to see in the hospital multiple times. So the entire ICU waiting room was filled up with our church. There was always at least 100 people there. And sometimes many more than that. And we prayed. And we named it. And we claimed it, and we declared it, and we impaled it. We did everything we could do. God was going to heal him. And he never left that ICU. And he died. Now you say, yeah, have a little bit better perspective the farther on you go. You learn to pray a little bit more specifically. But that shook me. Can you remember that time for you? And where every time you prayed, you kept thinking about that. And then you get to the point after you've got a little bit of a history that you begin to say, well, I ask and I'm going to ask and I'm going to knock and I'm going to seek, but God may not. And you've got to figure out some way to deal with that if you're going to keep on praying. Now, there are at least three schools of interpretation on this passage. You remember a couple of weeks ago I used the word hermeneutic. There are at least three hermeneutical schools, lenses of how to see what Jesus is saying here. And the first one, and I imagine you've heard them all, particularly when your prayers weren't answered and people wanted to tell you why. The first one is, well, God don't answer prayers of folks that ain't Christians. That's just all there is to it. So therefore, your prayer ain't answered? You better check your spiritual pulse there, bud. There's something wrong with your relationship with God. Again, I remember very vividly the very first time that I sat and I witnessed this in life. Our next-door neighbors at the time, where I was growing up, you know how every neighborhood has that family? Our next-door neighbors were that family. And They threw wild parties where they drank beer till 3 o'clock in the morning. And Andre, he rode in a motorcycle gang, not a bunch of Christian guys going out and putting on some leather and pretending so that they could go out to eat somewhere. I mean, one of these rough guy motorcycle gangs. They never went to church. The language you heard coming across when they would get into fights, Mom and Dad would have to tell you, now, we don't use this word, that word. That's... I remember one day, their son, Pistol. I have no idea what this kid's real name was. But they came to my mama's funeral, and the kid came up and said, remember me? I'm Pistol. Yeah, I remember you. Pistol was lost one day. He's about 3 years old. called the police, and people were out looking all over the neighborhood. The neighbors were all looking. You remember those days when neighborhoods were little microcosms and everybody knew everybody else and everybody knew everything about everybody else. Well, Mama was out in the front yard and she was imploring the heavens. She was telling God in the loudest voice you've ever heard all the things she was going to do if he would just bring Pistol back. And one of the neighbors, I won't tell you what denomination she was a part of. You can probably guess. She had that holy, sweet look on her face. You've seen it before. You're wasting your time. God's not going to hear your prayer. Yeah, nice one. We are one in the pond. You're a kid, that theology develops. Oh, okay. Are we sophisticated a little bit? You know, this kind of falls under this same category. You just didn't have enough faith. You didn't believe enough. Wow, I tell you, I appreciate you telling me that because I was feeling bad enough as it is, and now, yeah, I feel worse. Thank you. You know, that is the essence of Christianity, right? Go around the world making people feel bad. You've done your job. Good, good work. Another view, another hermeneutic of this text is that Jesus, you know, he's not talking about everyday life. He's only talking about spiritual stuff. Now I'll tell you, the scripture is very clear about that. This, we do not receive because we ask with wrong motives, because we have sinful, selfish motives. So what that hermeneutic, what that reading would say is that when Jesus says ask and seek, he's talking about ask to know him more. Seek to understand him more. Knock on the door and he will open it and he will save you. Beyond that, there ain't no guarantees. Well, they got a point. But I think if that's what Jesus meant, that's what Jesus would have said. And it's not. A third hermeneutic, third view of how to deal with this has completely escaped my mind. I can make something up, but I'm not going to do that to you. If I remember it, I'll tell you later. If not, I'll fill you in next week. Yeah, it probably doesn't matter because they're all straw men anyway. Because what I found in life is none of those answers really, truly work. None of those answers are authentic. They all kind of massage what Jesus is saying, but they really don't get down to the nitty-gritty of what Jesus is saying. And I think that as we journey a little bit further into this text, into our reading, there becomes a clue here of what Jesus is saying and how he is speaking to us about how we pray. And the context really is the parable or the example that he uses of parent-child. How many of you have kids? Okay, all right, that's most of us here. It's interesting that some of the wives raised their hands and their fathers didn't. They're yours. I wash my hands of this. I don't care what the DNA test says. That kid ain't mine. You feel that way sometimes, don't you? What on earth? that's okay. They feel that way about us sometimes too. That is not my father. I must be adopted. But let's be serious. And I'm the one that gets us off track anyway, so I need to be serious. You do anything in the world for your kids. I don't care how much they've frustrated you. I don't care how much they've cost you. When the rubber hits the road and you get right down to it, they call you up and they need, and your heart just goes for them. Let me tell you this. This is what I believe about each and every one of you that are parents in here today. If your child was singled out to die, you'd take their place in a heartbeat. No questions asked. You put whatever it is that's in their body and you hook a hose up to me and you pump it into me, I'll take it every bit. You'd die for your kids. You have sacrificed for your kids. You love your kids in ways that you can't even verbalize or explain. Amen? Okay, I just want to make sure we were all together there. Still got a couple of husbands going. No, really. I want you to hear this. Jesus, knowing our love for our kids and what we would do, he says, if you, then, who are evil. I was just feeling pretty good about myself as a parent. Now, is Jesus saying you're evil? No. This is comparison, okay? You know how it is when you compare something. You look at your home and you feel pretty good about it till you see the White House. Yeah. That's better. Yeah, I'm with Dan, not really. I wouldn't want to live there for $1 million. Jesus says you cannot imagine a love that is greater than a parent's love. And I've seen some mama bears before. And I ain't talking about bears. I'm talking about mamas. That heaven helped that person. Because they are fixing to receive a full dose. Because they dared to insult or injure their child. You've seen it. Our love is deep for our kids. It's the deepest thing we can really imagine. And Jesus said, if you put that side by side to the love of God for us, your love looks absolutely evil. It looks like the worst parent in the world that's doing abuse and all kinds of stuff to kids. It looks like that compared to God's love for you. It's immense. It's incredible. You can't even imagine it, how much God loves you. You put those two side by side, and you would do anything in the world, including die for your kids. And God will do so much, 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 much more that there's no even comparison. So then why don't I get what I want? Well, maybe for the same reason your parents didn't give you chocolate cake and cupcake and ice cream every meal. Although when moms are away, that's what they eat. So what do dads know? I never could figure out what the difference was between a donut and a cookie anyway. No. Just got that. Jesus said, the Father's love is so great for you that he longs to give you what you need and what you desire. He longs to give you wholeness and completeness. God is not withholding from you because he's trying to somehow let you know who's the boss and who's in charge so that we keep that straight. God gives out of his great love. And watch this. God also withholds out of his great love. Now, I can make a really good argument that I want this, I need this, and I ought to have this. Other people that are getting it, how come not me? But God knows that right now, at this point in this time, this particular thing that I'm asking for, it's just going to build up pride in me and not humility. And he knows I don't need that. God knows this is going to distract me so much that my mind and my heart is going to head off on another trail and I'm just going to leave God behind somewhere. The key words here that I think are interesting is Jesus says, what father of you, what parent of you, if your child asked for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asked for fish, would give him a snake? Now don't answer that because I know a couple of fathers that would do that and think it's the funniest thing in the world. No, he says, they wouldn't do that because they love you. Now watch this. God's not going to give you a stone or a snake either. Now, let me tell you something, and you're not probably going to believe this, but think about it, and then if I'm completely wrong, come and tell me. Sometimes, in our ignorance, I'm not sure if that's the best word to use, but it's the only one I got. Sometimes, in our ignorance, we ask for stones when what we need is bread. And don't shake your head no at me. What are diamonds, by the way? What's gold? That's asphalt in heaven. I imagine God's just like, really? That's what you want? You want some asphalt? Okay. You're not going to ask. Sometimes we reach out and we ask for serpents. And you say, nobody in their right mind would do that. You see people, though, who are running as fast as they can. They're spending every dime they make, and they're reaching out for that which is going to bite them, which is going to poison them, which is going to destroy them. And they're giving it all they got, saying, God, give me more of this. That's true, isn't it? And it's true about me. I can look back at some of the things that I thought I really wanted, some things that I thought would be great. I didn't think I was asking in selfish motives, but I was asking for stones and serpents. I can see that now. And I thank God that he didn't give me what I asked for. So into this text about asking and receiving, seeking and finding, knocking, and the door be open to us. There are some doors that God knows don't need to be open for us. There are some things you're just better off not knowing. Just ask Adam and Eve. They thought it'd be great to know evil and good. It didn't turn out that well. There are some things that will just destroy our lives if we receive what we want when we want it. God knows. And if you wouldn't give your kids stones or snakes, why are you asking God to give it to you? Why are you angry at God because he didn't give you what you wanted that he knew you did not need, that he knew would destroy your heart? So how do we deal with this? Well, the three schools of thought that I can't remember the third didn't matter anyway. That ain't it. It's not manipulating. Here's what I believe this text is saying to us. Pray your heart honestly. You can do that. You can go before God and you can honestly pray your heart to Him, knowing that sometimes what I'm asking for may be the absolute worst thing in the world for me. But I don't really know that. I think I'm asking for what's good and for what's best. You can pray your heart honestly to God. God's not going to trick you. God's not going to go, well, here you go. You asked for it. You got it. Sometimes He does that when we just keep beating the door and just keep demanding our way. But as a general rule, God doesn't do that. God interprets our prayers. So you don't have to have it all figured out before you go to God and pray. I can't tell you how many times that I've just said a person's name before the Heavenly Father. I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning, and not that it was some great spiritual epiphany, one of the dogs was barking. Maybe that was a spiritual epiphany. I don't know. I have to think about that. If one of them was on fire, then no. And you know how it is sometimes when you wake up and you think, well, maybe I ought to just pray for some folks and pray for some circumstances. All I could say to God this morning was their name. I just kept saying their name over and over again. Lord, I don't know what would be best. I don't know how to pray. I'm just lifting them before You. I'm dragging them into Your presence. Lord, You do what is good in their life. And I'm okay with that. I don't think God needs me to tell Him what to do. I mean, sometimes I try it, but I don't think God needs that. At the same time, I believe that we can come before God in the honesty of our hearts and we can pray honestly what is there. God, please heal. God, please provide. God, please take this burden away from me. God, please this. God, please that. God, I'm asking You if You would. And I'm knocking and I'm knocking and I'm knocking and I'm being persistent because I want You to hear my cry. I'm praying honestly before You, but I trust You ultimately. You did hear that. Because that's the second part of what I think this text is saying. We pray honestly. We trust God ultimately. Amen. And we say, God, I may be asking for stones and snakes, and I don't want that. I may be asking for what is absolutely not Your will. I don't want that. I'm just praying my heart honestly before You. And now I'm going to turn my hands upside down. And I'm going to trust You with it. As I think many of you know from the prayer chain, Rogers Balzer's in the hospital this morning. He's down at TMC. The other night, what night was that, Tammy? Thursday, Friday? Friday, yeah. See, I can't even. Not only do I not remember the third, I don't remember what days I do things. Roger, there in the emergency room before they sent him on down to TMC, he said, I don't know if I'm going to make it to church on Sunday. What's the sermon going to be? Well, number one, that was a lot of faith that he had in me that I'd actually figured it out. I told him, I said, you know, when Ben misses church, he'll always ask me, give me the 30-second version of the sermon. Because he knows that I can do that. I generally kind of have a wrap-up statement, and you know, that's where we're going. The rest of the time, we're just moving in that direction. And Roger queried, why don't you just give us the 30-second version? People would like that. He reiterated that yesterday, by the way. I said, Roger, the sermon's this. Pray honestly. Trust God ultimately. That means one thing if your life's skating along pretty good right now. But if you're in ICU and you have end-stage heart failure, well, that sounds a whole lot different. But it applies there. And if your heart is broken because of stuff going on, decisions of other people that are impacting you, that truth applies there. If you're in a place where you just realize that you are completely out of control and someone else is pushing the buttons and pulling the strings and you just feel like you're kind of a doll on the end, just kind of being danced around. And believe me, life is sometimes like that. It applies there. God says, come into my presence with your heart and open your heart up to me and just tell me what's going on. If you're angry, let me know it. If you're hurt, let me know it. If all you can do is cry, then cry to me. And then trust it into my sovereign hand. Pray honestly. Trust God ultimately. I didn't cook up that phrase this week. I ran across it almost 30 years ago. You know how you run across something, you go, I'm going to commit that to memory? Sometimes it works, obviously sometimes it doesn't. I've never forgotten that. I preached that one time, Liberty, Missouri, those same phrase. This lady in the church, she had cancer. There was actually, at the time that we prayed for her, there were two ladies in the church that both had the same kind of cancer. We prayed for both of them. One was miraculously healed. I mean, I'm talking, we prayed for her one day, she went to the surgery the next day. The doctors came out, and I thought, oh my goodness, she must have passed away on the operating table. They were out within 15 minutes. And the doctor says, I don't know what to tell you. There was a tumor there. I could feel it. We had the imaging of it. It was there last week. When we went to start the surgery, I couldn't feel anything, so I had them bring the imaging machine in, and there is nothing there. Yeah, that'll bolster your faith a little bit until you go to the next hospital and it's cancer and it's in the lymph nodes. And a year later, she's on hospice in her last days. I went by and I sat with her on the day that she died. I love this couple. They were so great. After I'd been there for a little bit, I asked Bob, can I go the refrigerator and get something to drink? Oh, I'll get it for you. No. I'm not helpless. I can go to the refrigerator and find something to drink. And I went to pull open the door, and then I saw a card that she had put on there. Nice little magnet. You know, where we put the important stuff of her life. It said, pray honestly. Trust God ultimately. And that applied on her deathbed. Prayer ain't a way of manipulation. The third one is. I know, it came to me eventually. Did I lose that again? The third one is you didn't pray the right way. You may have had faith, but you didn't say the right words. You didn't stand on your left foot while you were praying on Thursday at 11 o'clock. Whatever silliness all that is. No. Prayer isn't about manipulating God. It's not about a bargain. It's not about somehow getting in touch with the all-divine power that is at my beck and call like some genie in a bottle. That is heresy. Quite frankly, I'd call it blasphemy if you really want to know what I think. Prayer is about praying the depths of your heart honestly to God and then trusting Him ultimately to give us what is best. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, if we were to count up the number of hours of prayer that has been spent in this room, it'd be a big number. If we counted the hours of prayer that was spent this week in this room, it'd be a big number. And Lord, sometimes we struggle. Because we ask for things that it's not selfish, it's not wrong. It's as right can be. And we don't receive. That door just remains shut. We seek and we don't understand, and we may never understand this side of heaven. And sometimes, please forgive us, Father. It causes us to doubt You. We doubt Your power. We doubt Your love. We think You just don't care about us. God, forgive us. We know that's not true. Help us to open our eyes that we can come before You with the desires and the needs of our hearts. Not just the spiritual stuff, but the everyday nitty-gritty stuff. The stuff that the rest of the world says doesn't matter to a hill of beans, and yet because You care for us, You care about it. You invite us, you implore us, come into My presence, bring your hearts before Me in total honesty. I can take it. And we know that You can interpret it. You can rearrange it. You can reconstruct it. So that instead of getting the rocks and the snakes that we sometimes ask for, You're able to give us the bread and the fish that we need. Help us, Father, as we pray, to pray our hearts honestly and to trust You ultimately. For it's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Would you stand together with me and receive God's blessing? And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance and give you peace. And all God's people said, amen and amen.